Wow.
Well, Cynthia, if you don't want that handmade Cuban cigar, I'll take yours, okay?
You can have it. Okay, it looks like we're ready to go here. Let's see, it's February 8th and a little past 2. We'll call the meeting to order for the airport committee, and the first item is the roll call, and I'll go off with Jeff Bertolite. And who wants to start next?
Mark Watkins. Sorry, Ralph. Mark Watkins is right after Ralph.
Dan McRae.
Here.
Jim, where'd you go? Okay.
Jim's back.
Cynthia, you're muted. Dietmar, go ahead. You're here.
Dietmar Goebel.
Cynthia Jacoby.
Jim, go ahead. Okay. And then we have a guest. Go ahead and announce your name.
Gina McRae.
Thank you, Gina. All right, I think we have everybody. Ken is not here. Susan, I thought she was in the waiting room.
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay, just not on video. All right, well, looks like everyone is there that's going to be here. The next item would be the approval of the minutes from the last meeting. Any comments there? If not, we can hear a motion to approve. Sorry, I didn't hear.
So moved.
Okay, it's moved in.
Move it. They will approve them.
We have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, raise your hand or say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, motion approved. Thank you. Next, we would be right into the discussion items. And the first item is the 4A airport user fees overview, evidently. And the first is a staff report on that. Lance?
Sure. Thank you, Chair. So it's that time of year for budget season, of course. And attached, a little background information on this, attached is the current fiscal year 21-22 fee schedule for the Newport Municipal Airport. Fees for the committee to consider are airport landing fees, fuel fees, vegetation, firewood, long-term vehicle parking, and aircraft tie-down fees. The current landing fee is $20 for any aircraft over 12,500 pounds. There's a fuel flow fee of 15 cents per gallon. There's a vegetation permit of $200. There's a firewood permit of $25. There's a long-term parking for $225 a year. And then there's the aircraft tie-down, which would be $5 per night or $40 per month or $480 per year. I've also attached the Oregon Department of Aviation 2021 Oregon Airport's statewide rates and charges survey as a reference for the committee for fees for being charged across Oregon. So I would like the recommendation from the committee to either raise fees or keep it at the status quo.
Well, thank you, Lance. I looked at a few your two examples you had there, and I think Ralph had his hand up first. Go ahead, Ralph. You have to take off mute, though.
Well, I didn't actually have my hand up.
Oh.
But I think we ought to consider raising the T-hangers to $200 a month.
So, I would second that recommendation based on the market evaluations that I've done on hangar feasibility studies. I think that's incredibly reasonable.
I would agree as well. I think we should raise it to 200.
I agree.
Okay, it's would be our recommendation if that were the case, if we want to make a motion to that. To recommend to City Council, they own the hangars. We don't as a committee here, but we can suggest that. Obviously, it would take effect within a certain period of time. I guess they would give them so much notice. But if that's that's the case, is that what you would like to hear as a motion?
So the just for a clarifier, the fees wouldn't take effect till after council approval on July 1, should they be approved. With the leases for T-hangers or the box hangers, there is the language in there about the CPI adjustment rates for the leases, which the city does do that. You can make a recommendation that to the council to raise to start, you know, the we are going to be raising those CPI rates for the T-hangers and, you know, the lease-controlled stuff through the city. We just don't know what those rates are yet. Currently, the T-hangers are at 193. If you want to make a recommendation to move it to 200, I think that would be fine.
All right.
Just a clarification, Lance. That the 200 would be a base fee. That would be over and above the current 3% CPI.
Right, because right now the current rate for the T-hangers is lower than 200. So we're waiting for finance to give me the numbers. It might be higher than 200 when it comes back, but at least we would have it raised to that point. Or if the CPI is higher, would you want to go with the CPI rate?
Okay. I wasn't aware that maybe the city-owned T-hangers was tied to the CPI. I think our leases are. So I think you'd be okay there either way.
Go ahead, Ralph.
Yeah, when I made the recommendation, I meant to set a base of 200 as of today, which means the CPI would be above and beyond that.
Agreed.
Okay, well, is that a motion then, Ralph?
I make that a motion.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to recommend to the City Council that they look at going up to 200 on the T-hangers, or if they would like to go above the CPI, that would be up to them. But I think, I don't imagine it's too much higher. We don't know what that rate would be, but we'll see from there. Okay, so the motion is to move that along to City Council for recommendation. All those in favor?
Or do any of the other fees that are associated with the landing, does the committee want to consider increasing any of those fees as well or keeping them the same?
I do. I have a question.
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
I have a question on the long-term parking, which is $225 per year. That's like $18.75 a month. And outdoor, I don't know where that parking is exactly, but outdoor parking at ordinary cold storage places are like $60 a month. And here we're charging $18.75. I have a question about that.
Sure, that was the rate that the committee had. Sorry, that was the rate that the committee had agreed upon last year for that. If you want to raise it, that's up to the committee.
And just to be clear, we're talking about aircraft outside storage, not vehicles, correct?
No, that is vehicle outside storage there by the box
outside
hangers.
Storage.
Okay, thank you.
Jim Shaw, why don't you make a motion to increase that to whatever you think is fair?
I'm not sure what's fair. I haven't looked into it, so unless somebody else has a better idea. I'm not sure what's fair, but $18.75 is not fair to the city, that's for sure.
Dan McCray, you got any input on this?
Well, I actually do agree with Jim. I don't know what a fair rate would be. Does $25, that still would be pretty darn reasonable to park a vehicle somewhere, or do you think it should be more than that?
Well, I can tell you a covered storage unit to park a car these days is about $250 a month. Now, this is uncovered. However, the city's insurance will cover that if something happens. So I don't have a problem at all addressing or discussing a $35 a month storage fee.
I understand most of these cars, except for maybe one, is used by people that fly in and use that car very intermittently. I suppose they could put... other than that, but it's supposedly mostly for to encourage people to come and fly and use a car. But I think if you picked on a reasonable number there, it's not going to fix the city's budget if you raise it too high.
Essentially, Mr. Chairman, what that is it's a parking facility on the city's behalf. We have boats, we have an RV. It's not really used for the full intention of what it is intended to be used for. We all know that.
Well, I think that I tried to change the rules on that, and it was overruled. I think if it were for people that had reasonable use for coming in, then we wouldn't have a boat or an RV there.
Dietmar.
Did I hear you just say somebody, people are staying out there in RVs, they're flying in and staying in RVs, or they're just storing RVs?
No, it was just a stored RV, and currently there is another, it's a boat, but it's a temporary use until his hangar is built.
Yeah, I think that the intent was obviously for the pilots to have a place to put a car, so when they flew in, they would have a car here. You know, if you start getting into where we're storing RVs, obviously the cost would, you know, if anybody knew they could store their RV out here for $18 a month, we'd be pretty full up with RVs, I think. So just, we got to kind of think a little bit about that or consider what we want to do there as far as RVs and boats and things like that.
So I did hear somebody mention $25. Would you like to go with that or something different?
Well, somebody what? Mentioned 35, so maybe we compromise and make it 30.
Do we want to set, we probably don't want to set two different rates, would we, as far as, I don't think we want to be in the storage business, but I think if people are going to store RVs, that should be a different rate than somebody who's storing a small car here that they can use when they fly in.
The other option would be to say that airport-related uses, they come in here other than having just somebody off the street wanting to store something that is not related to them coming to the airport.
It's pretty hard to get in the business of discriminating somebody's purpose, you know, whether they actually fly in or they don't fly in. And if we get into that business, we'll have more problems than we probably anticipate. So I don't have any problem making a higher rate for an RV than a car, but trying to discriminate between somebody that flies in an airplane and somebody that doesn't or does both or this, that, and the other thing would be a little complicated.
So
yeah, I would be more inclined to do it that way. Maybe keep the rate down on the car at 25 or 30, and I don't know, the RV, you know, because again, I don't think we want to get into the RV storage business here. I don't know, maybe 40, 45. So if we did 30 and 45, would that, what do you guys think of that?
I'll make a motion that we change the language for the outside vehicle storage to $40 a month for RVs and boats, and $25 a month for vehicles.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, raise your hand or say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. That for you, Lance. So I think the rest of the fees seem to be in line from my viewpoint, but unless someone else has an issue.
The only thing that there's no language in that is I wouldn't have a problem waiving the landing fee for anybody if they bought X amount of gallons of fuel, either a Jet A or 100 low lead. I don't know if that is up for discussion or not, or needs to be discussed.
It could be. How many times do you collect, how many aircraft come under in over 12,000 pounds?
Currently, we are right now at 200 jets. Roughly about 60% of those are over the 12,500 threshold. A lot of the people don't really squabble about the $20 landing fee because it's, you know, 200, 300 other places. But if that's, you know, something that would entice somebody to buy fuel, I don't know if it is, because we do have the discount in place for jet fuel. by the committee. They get so much cents off whether they buy, you know, 50, and we have a graduated scale. So I wouldn't waive the landing fee if it, in my opinion.
It might be a little administrative problem, but if I forgot about the discount for the larger amounts of fuel, and that probably would answer that question to encourage them to get some fuel at larger quantities. That okay with you, Mark?
Yeah, I forgot about that as well. So, Lance, everything else you've got on there is pretty much in line with the issues that I've looked at with the state board. So everything else looks good.
Okay, we'll get to put it together and get it on up for the budgeting sessions as they come out. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you very much. Next item was the 4B hangar development timeline, and they have a little staff report on that also.
All righty, thank you, Chair. So item 4B is the Newport Municipal Hangar Development Timeline Checklist. A little background on this. Did attach a draft of the timeline checklist. This has been an ongoing document for refinement by city administration. The timeline is broken into six steps that include subsections for checkoff once completed. Step one is the information required written request. Step two is the submission to the airport committee. Step three is the FAA 7460. Step four is the approval by the city council. Step five is the City of Newport Community Development Department review. Step six would then be the post-construction for the occupation permit. We did also add in the language in there about, let's see here. If the applicant takes under the 7460, if the applicant takes no actions for 30 days, the City of Newport will entertain any other written requests expiring or expressing interest in building a hangar on airport property, which was one of the issues that we were running into previously.
Okay, thank you. The only thing I read, I was reading through that, and I'm not sure if we're there at that point yet or not. Was currently all our sites are pretty much leased out, so we may not have this issue here, but I know Dan had a problem with citing or having a surveyor, and it mentions having the applicant apply for a surveyor to go out there, and it seems that the city ought to be able to have their sites identified if you're going to lease something, and instead of having the person actually pay for a survey, but again, there's nothing except for maybe the current box hangar out there. I don't know. It just seems that it's already been surveyed, but I guess we're asking for somebody to come out and spend a lot of money for something that's already been done.
When you say Dan, you don't mean this Dan, is that correct?
No, I meant you. I know you had to change your location.
No, I did, but I mean, I never proposed that we have somebody pay for a surveyor. I know that I've spoke to Mark in the past. There's things that we would like, you know, what happens is we approve a building out here. And I think that we would like to see some kind of just a hand-drawn plot plan brought back to us so we know kind of where it's going and what it's doing, because there seems like it at one time or another on these other hangars, we were going to orient them this way, then we were going to orient them that way, then we were going to do this, going to do that. I think as the airport board, we ought to know kind of what somebody's doing and how they're laying them out and where they're going. So I'd be in favor of that, but I'm not in favor of making somebody pay a surveying company to come out here and survey that.
And that ultimately, that's all city property. So that's the city's responsibility. When you lease a property, you need to know what you're leasing. So it's on the city to give us the lat longs as you would in any property to actually the amount and where the property is located according to the GIS layout map. So it's on the city to let us know, or any leasee know, what you're leasing. Whether it's a box hangar, somebody wants to build 40 T hangars, that's on the city, Jeff.
Well, that's what my point was, but in the literature here, indicated that the leasee would have to pay.
And you can make a recommendation to administration to remove that if you want, if the committee feels that that's something appropriate, and then we can make that suggestion go to administration.
Okay, I to cover Dan's point too, I think the item still is in there that they one of the steps is to bring back a plot plan, something that we can actually see and approve. So we're covered there. I just that it indicated that the person who wanted to lease something was having to pay a surveyor. So I guess the recommendation there, if we would needs a motion to say that we would remove. Request we remove the requirement of having the leasee pay for a surveyed spot.
I'll make a motion that when somebody enters a new lease agreement with the city, that it's the city's responsibility to provide the leasee with a plot plan and the certain GIS location of the leased property.
To probably clarify that, you mean not necessarily a plot plan, meaning at least an area that is identified, but perhaps by stakes or at least a fairly accurate location that would be okay with the city's development department, as so someone could come and build or design a plot plan off of what they've been given.
It should be surveyed, correct?
All right, we have a second.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please raise your hand or say aye.
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 All right. Looks like everyone, so motion's approved. Thank you, Lance. So next one would be the, evidently we're down to the operations.
Mr. Chairman, Ralph has his hand up.
Oh, Ralph, go ahead.
Yeah, back to that timeline. In the end there, it says there's 12 weeks for the city to process after all the other steps have gone through. I think that's excessive. And I think we had to recommend that be taken back to about 2 weeks. And one other that additional item that coincides with this approval process, and that is we need to amend our leases, certainly the future leases, that require a certain start date on construction within the time of signing the lease, and change that to be within the time, a certain time, as 1 year is in there now, not from the signing of the lease, but rather from the final approval, because all the approvals are out of the hands of the lessee, and yet you're assigning him a restriction that he has no control over.
So you're recommending that we change the language to at the time of approval of the lease for the timeline to start for construction.
That's correct. And in addition, that 12 weeks line in there, I think, should be reduced substantially. I realize there's things to be done, but if we don't put a timeline on there, I think 12 weeks is far too much, frankly.
I did see that too, and I thought so too.
That would be nice, but you're dealing with a city council approval as well as a planning committee approval.
Yes, so when you add all
those
up,
they'll never do it in 2 weeks. It's impossible for them to do it in 2 weeks.
It looks like when you read it, Mark, is it looks like you go through all those steps, the city council, the airport board, and so on, and then when you get all done, they still have another 12 weeks, and that's what I'm objecting to.
I think that the way I read this is that the community development is setting that expectation that it could take 12 weeks because they'd have three people staffed down there, depending on how many projects are coming in and what they're going through. So I think that's why they set that expectation of 12 weeks. But we could probably see if there's a way to reword it so it doesn't sound like it will take 12 weeks, because it could be shorter, but it might unfortunately be longer. So I think that's why they set that expectation there.
Right. And
well, we could always...
To clarify that, right, it is after everything's approved, and then you're pretty much going to the community department there, and they should have all their ducks in a row at that point. Maybe you might suggest, what would be 8 weeks perhaps at the most?
or better yet, just put a timeline in there, and no receipt of approval within a certain time frame constitutes approval. That'll get their attention.
It might. I don't think they'll pass. But yeah. So would you like to make it maybe more easy for them to shorten the time period there? Would be probably more advantageous in our case. Do I hear a time?
Well, as Mark said, it looks like all the ducks are in a row by the time they get to that last step, so I'd say 2 weeks.
I'll second that motion.
We can try. And if they exceed that, I suppose that's just the way it is. It's perhaps not binding, but at least tells them they can't put it on the back burner.
Are these all recommendations you're making to Spencer or staff, or where are these recommendations going to?
This is a recommendation I'll be taking back to Spencer to further refine this document.
Yeah, they.
Thanks, Glenn.
They may come back to us and say that can't be met. We can all we're doing here is making recommendations. That the idea is we would like a shorter timeline in this case, but we'd like to see 2 weeks, assuming that all the items have been checked off. And the plot plan has been looked at. It's been approved by the city council. Pretty much everything has been done. So I don't know. It'll come back to us, I imagine, if they don't like the recommendation.
Has there been a big problem, Jeff, on getting people a timely lease? Or has that been a problem in the past?
Well, I think the big concern here, DMR, is that if everything is approved, then we send it to community development that they would just maybe, oh, we can't get to it for a couple of weeks yet. And it probably is a one-day look at an approval. So there really isn't much the community development department has to review, like plans and specifications. That's all been done.
I know that they're short-staffed there right now. And community development is, and they've got a lot of work, a lot of irons in the fire. I know that building permits right now are about 30 days, month and a half out by the time you submit. So you might be pushing the wheelbarrow uphill on this one. I don't know.
Well, and if you don't mind me stepping in, I may have to check with Derek, but I do believe that they don't review hangar plans down there. Those have to be sent out, and that might be why there's a 12-week turnaround on that.
Oh, that I can understand, but it appeared when I read that that had already been happening, and it's all back in, and then they would go back for some reason to community development. Maybe the steps are out of order in that lineup, but that's what it appeared. So there's confusion there. I agree, if you have to send out, we can't expect it to be back in 2 weeks from if you have a giant hangar to have it come back. But it appeared the way it was written, the building department had already issued a permit practically, and then it goes back to community development. I don't know why.
I kind of read it the same way Jeff did, so it certainly it requires some clarification, if but nothing else.
It might be the best thing, talk to Derek and find out what the process is, and then you can make a recommendation based on that. Yeah. I mean, if it has to be sent out, it has to be sent out. Yeah.
But right. I still stick by my other recommendation, which is independent of that. I think we need to amend the leases that the timeline for construction starts upon receipt of approval. And I think that ought to be a direct recommendation that we make.
Okay. That one I think was pretty doggone clear. We could do that. The other one is you would try to improve or take away that say have a shortest possible timeline to get final approval after all items are in, and it could be that it was just miswritten here. So, or someone was thinking the plans hadn't been approved. I'm not sure what the issue was. But so, Ralph, you'd like to, the motion is that we would have the timeline start after the approval of lease?
After the building permit permitting process is complete, because they can't start construction without a building permit.
Dan?
Thank you. I may not be following this correctly. So if we start it a year after the permitting process has, all this has occurred, what's to keep somebody from tying the lot up and then dragging their feet, getting the plans and getting the permits and getting all that filed? Am I missing something here? I think the reason that, you give them the 12 months from the start is because then they need to start moving that process forward. Or am I not understanding it?
Well, I think,
let's also not forget, Ralph, that we just granted a 6-month extension for somebody. So we also have that extension. Dan brings up a good point. I don't know how we're going to alleviate that, because we want to make sure that if we have solid investors come in here and want to develop the airport, that they have the ability to do that while we have available property.
Well, I agree with Dan. That's a valid concern, but we need to, you know, get something in place that makes it reasonable. I mean, we can use the extension process, you're right. And Dan does bring up a valid point, and I agree with him. We can't let them tie up. We could put submission dates on those things. In other words, you have to have your plan submitted 30 days or 60 days or whatever, and do it that way. It's just that we need to keep everybody rolling forward, I guess.
I think that for me personally, I don't have a problem if somebody is in process, if somebody, you know, and they need an extension. I don't think any of us are going to not issue an extension for a guy that's, you know, got his concrete down and he's well on his way. A year is plenty of time, you know, even with the fact that we have to send this stuff out, because I had to go, I just went through all this. It's, you know, it's an adequate amount of time to do this. If there's a hang up or we got weather issues or it's winter time or whatever, I don't think any of us have a problem extending that. So we do have that tool. It's just, I just don't want to get us caught in a situation where, you know, we keep extending stuff for somebody who hasn't done any, isn't doing the work, or isn't moving forward. Well, we have people that are standing there waiting to build something that will move forward.
Well, based on what I've heard, I'll withdraw my recommendation.
Mr. Chair, it might be an option here that when we do enter a lease with somebody to either build a hangar or a warehouse, anything, that if we don't see any movement, we invite them to an airport committee meeting and have them give us an update on where they're at with the process. If the board can help them through the process, maybe there's a hiccup that we can help them with. I think it's just basically accountability that all Dan is asking for.
Well, in this case, we would just leave it as it is, because it does start at the time of applicant. I think the year starts, like Dan mentioned, and then the extensions, like we say, if they're on their way, we would most likely grant it anyhow. So I think it may be making a mountain out of a hole here. Anything else? Dietmar, you had your hand up. You have a question?
Dietmar's on mute.
Yeah, you're muted, Dietmar.
That's good.
I don't know. I hit a button I shouldn't have hit, so I went crazy for a while. Being in the construction industry, these are really crazy times right now, and I know that lead times on materials and availability is really tough right now. I'm working with a high school right now on some bleachers, and they're coming out of Texas, and lead times on those are ridiculous because they're steel and aluminum and stuff. So just to be aware that some years are better than others, and putting on too many restrictions might be getting in people's way. But I agree, though, a year to get a hanger up is not unreasonable. Still, it's the lead times on stuff right now are ridiculous. I know windows, just the final windows right now are like 6 months out. So it's
I think the issue is that, like I say, a year should be enough to at least pour concrete, I would think. So we would, and the person could come back to us and say, hey, I need a little more extension. The metal's not here. And we'd probably grant that.
No, without any problem. I agree with that.
Okay, where were we? Lost where we... we withdrew the motion from Ralph, so I don't know if we have anything that... we covered another motion already covered, so.
So I just need a point of clarifier because I'm a little bit lost myself here. We don't want to add the language in, or we don't want to change the leases for the start of the 1 year upon council approval of the lease.
That's correct. All right. Well, I think we solved that problem, evidently. So that leads us to the operations report.
All righty. Moving on to 5A, the operations report. Let's see here. For the Newport City Council, I attended the January 3rd City Council meeting. Item 6F, ratification of the mayor's reappointment of Jeff Bertolite, Ralph Busby, Jim Shaw, and Mark Watkins to the Airport Committee for terms expiring December 31st of 2023 was approved. Item 9D was a consent of assignment from March 16th, 2021 lease with Northcom 75 LLC to Daniel B. McCree with the assignment date of August 20th, 2021. That was approved by Council. Attended the January 18th, 2022 Council meeting. Item 4D was the ratification of Dan McCree to the Airport Committee for the term expiring on December 31st, 2022, and he was approved. So that's good. Welcome, Dan. Oregon Department of Aviation, there was no board meeting held for the Oregon Department of Aviation for January 2022. The ODA ARC committee participated in the core grant grading cohort number 4, also participated in the ARC final grading and recommendations for grading for the Oregon Department of Aviation core grants. Animal shelter update, watch the planning commission meeting. Planning commission approved the conditional use permit for the addition, with the addition of no large animals unless we are under a governor declared state of emergency. Oregon Airport Managers Association participated in the board meeting. Items discussed were but for the upcoming spring conference agenda and speakers. Environmental assessment, AIP 29, participated in 2 our environmental assessment meetings. One was a status update. ESA should have a final draft for public comment in April. The second was a meeting for prioritizing and potential phasing of the obstruction removal project when that is ready to go. Department head strategic planning participated in a department head meeting following up on the strategic planning workshop that was held in December. The GCO signs, they are up. Hopefully they're in a spot that is good for pilots to see, and the language on them is understandable. It was kind of interesting trying to get that all on there. Career Exploration Month, Brady with Life Flight and I talked with the high school students about different career opportunities in the aviation industry. Meeting with the Public Works, had a meeting with the Public Work Director, David Powell, about the Seal Rock Water District and the street reset line breakage off of 101. David Powell is to follow up with Spencer Niebel on that meeting. City budget, working with administration on budgets, capital projects. The airport is coming up. Finishing the environmental assessment and obstruction removal. Finishing the 48 storm pipe sealing. The obstruction removal project. Projects all are totaling $3.7 million. All projects are funded at 90% for FAA AIP, leaving a 10% city match requirement by the city. CIP adjustments, so we talked about that earlier, working with the finance department to do the CIP calculations. We did have an interesting go on it. The U.S. Bureau of Labor and Statistics no longer has the Consumers Portland area category, so the city will be using the next closest CPI Western Consumers Price Index per Section 5 adjustment of basic rent, 5.1 CPI adjustment language. How we ended up for the month of January, we had 590 total logged aircraft operations. We pumped 5,070 gallons of fuel. $4,314 was Jet A, and $756 was for the Avgas, which puts us currently for jet year, we're at 44 for fiscal year of gallons pumped, we're at 44,437. Fiscal year for Avgas, we're at 11,213. We rented out 27 rental cars, and we loaned out 22 courtesy cars. Also in the operations report is the Jet A prices within the 65-mile local catchment for Newport and the 55-mile local catchment of Avgas for Newport as well, as long as some pictures of aircraft coming in and out of Newport.
Is there any news on a replacement courtesy car?
That's something I'm going to have to talk with Spencer on. The insurance came in, but I don't know if it is going to cover the cost of replacement of cars or a crew car. I know that the police department is selling all of their Dodge Chargers, so they don't have one for us to, I guess, adopt. So currently the only option I have is to see if Spencer will okay the purchase of a car if Northern Department has one for us to adopt.
How about that big one-ton blue pickup that sits out there?
Sure, but I don't think Dan McCree is willing to let people use it.
What is the amount of money that we have from the other car, and is that money that we can use to spend to purchase another car, or is that not?
So the car that has gone missing, I think, only had a value of like $1,800 on it, and that's all the insurance that I know of paid out. But again, I don't have those numbers because that was dealt with the administration office for the insurance claim. So that's why I got a check to see how much money we potentially have available. Sorry, I must have hit the mic. Available to purchase a crew car.
Okay. So, but that money, whatever that amount is, $1,800 or whatever it is, that money would be available to us to maybe go out and try and source one from another agency or someone else.
If the insurance gave us the a check for replacement or whatever, but again, I would have to check with Spencer on what the available amount is for what the insurance get paid out.
Thank you.
Lance, can you give us an update on the self-service fuel farm and when we're going to expect that to get repaired?
Sure. So MassDOT had already come out and they looked at what was going on with it. They don't believe that it was the Pulsar, thankfully, but the board that operates the LED sign that we had installed has gone bad, so they have a board ordered in. Not the sign isn't bad, but the board that runs it internally went out.
So if somebody comes in after hours, what's their source for 100 low lead?
Currently, we don't have anything available for after hours for any type of fueling unless there's a call-out fee. It is NOTAMed out, and we have been telling people that you can still get 100 low lead at the airport as long as you let us know when you need it.
Okay.
I think Dan had a point that I didn't realize if we have potentially a certain amount of money, the crew car or the cars that we lend out don't have to be wonderful, but safe. And so sometimes you can pick up cars pretty reasonably that may hold two or three people. So we'll, maybe someone would like to donate, you know, something to us too. So we'll hold that out. But if anybody has feelers out there that someone has an extra car for under $2,000, we'll take it.
I'll donate your van, Jeff.
Well, I still use that. However, I do have somebody that has a little Subaru or something like that for almost that price. Dan knows who he is. All right. Well, anything else on the our committee comments? Or not? I mean, we're not, operations report. Any questions? Okay. I noticed on one of our. Maybe we'll talk about that after our committee comments here. I guess we're actually down to that now. And I'm just looking at our airport committee goals, and we have the water and sewer, explore industrial development, things like that, solar panels. I'm thinking we may hopefully someday have a parking problem, and I don't know if we've striped things. Has that helped, or are we still short parking?
Actually, restriping the parking lot has helped out a bit. Probably going to be a few years before we start, you know, more people. If the aviation business takes off, might have to look at it. But the striping did help in the relayout of the lot and the addition of the, like, 12 different spots.
Well, that'd be great. I still think we ought to, I don't know where we would put them, but I'll locate an area that could be held for maybe more parking in the future. I don't know where we have, that's just something that we can look at coming up. Does anyone else have some committee comments? Ralph?
Question. Lance, when we were going through the master planning process, or any other time for that matter, have you ever looked at the grass strip between the jet ramp and the taxiway into the west hangars as a possible location for small hangars? I'm not the one that thought of this. Dan did, but we were talking about it today, so I just thought if that discussion had ever taken place.
The grass strip between where again?
Between the jet ramp and the west hangars.
It's about a jet blast problem, a wing issue, but well,
if you look at the master plan, the airport layout plan, there's quite an extensive apron that the FAA is planning on, you know, helping with AIP funding on once we get there, and that grass strip would be incorporated into that layout plan. I don't know if there would be able to be additional buildings put in there, mainly for safety radiuses that would need to be around the buildings, if that would create, you know, cause more or less space to be used for aircraft parking. But that area is slated for an apron expansion.
We can't have an apron on there if we're going to have 10 or 15 box hangers. So I would like to make a motion that we explore that area for the development of more box hangers.
I would second that.
Okay, this has been moved and seconded for that. I think what we're looking at is we'd have to go back to our master plan people and go through all those hoops of identifying that as a location to build, and they may have some other issues. So maybe to approve that would be one thing, but maybe the motion ought to be to send it to our design staff or whoever it is that does that and see if it's available or not first.
Whatever we need to do, Mr. Chairman, to see if that area can be developed for hangars. If you come to the barbecue, there's three individuals that have money ready to buy a hangar and to buy airplanes. And that is the goal of this committee, is to help develop the airport. So I don't think it's necessary that we jump through a bunch of FAA hoops. We need to find out if that property can be developed for T-hangers.
That would require us getting in contact with the FAA for the ALP pen and ink change. So there would still be some FAA involvement in that. I'm not saying that they wouldn't deny it or accept it, but there would still be FAA involvement in that.
Well, of course, but that was my motion, to determine whether or not we could feasibly develop that area for hangars. And the FAA needs to, quite frankly, let them know that we have a serious issue to store hangars and people ready to rent hangars.
Okay, I think your motion was to move it ahead and see if we're that area would be available. Did we have a second there? Is that what I heard?
Yeah, I seconded that motion. I think we should look into it.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Susan? Okay, looks like everyone.
Aye.
And motion, I have one more comment while we're on the issue of hangar availability, Mr. Chairman. Right across from my hangar, there's a vacant space there to build a box hangar, and it's kind of fenced off right where FedEx parks their vehicles. And I want to know from Lance if that is also available. I have a gentleman that is ready to enter into a lease to lease that to build a box hangar.
Well, there's the underground fire suppressant system that goes to that lot, so it would need to be identified where that is. And then we would have to, it's not on the master plan as being identified as a place to build a hangar, so we would definitely have to do a pen and ink change with the FAA on that.
Right, it'd be the same issue with putting box hangars across from the grass strip, so maybe they could look at both issues at the same time.
I think that space is called Hangar J, which is vacant. Here's the map of it right here.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Jim. Thank you for that.
Originally, that space had been identified, we're talking 20 years ago, as some potential for an additional mechanics office or FBO or some avionics shop. That's what I guess it was held out, but now it's kind of been relegated to nothing right now. So hopefully we'll find out if that's available.
Lance, can we ask for an approximate timeline that we can get answers on these vacant spaces for hangar development?
I should be able to bring something back for the next airport committee meeting about availability of those. I don't know if there would be anything drawn up or whatnot that would need to be done with that, but I definitely can report back next meeting on it.
Thank you, Lance.
I think what I might also look to see if there's support. We had talked about the area north section where we were looking at more land to be developed, and that needs a whole entire plan. Where are we with that?
I'm waiting on the design from PAE. They're putting together several different, I guess, site options that need to be looked at that they're building for us. So
it's underway, then something like, okay, good. All right, I didn't know if that had fallen off or not, had heard. Maybe if you can rattle EIA's cage again and maybe get back to us on what they've come up with so far, or tell them we're anxious. We have people waiting, I guess. Any other comments? Okay, we're at the point of public comment. We do have one person. Gina, you would like to speak?
Yes, thank you so much. My name is Gina McCray, and I'll just let everybody know, yes, Dan and I are related. He's my brother. I'm a pilot as well, and I thank you so much for letting me come and talk today. I also, I attended the planning committee where they approved the conditional use permit for the shelter the other day. And in their closing remarks, they asked for maybe getting more feedback from pilots and others in the community, but then they shut off public comment. So I appreciate Lance, Mark, folks for giving me these few minutes to come out and kind of talk about that issue, maybe bring a few things out to light. And I'm concerned that there's some things that aren't quite being brought out. I have tried numerous times over the last, 7 or 8 days to round up more information. I had been aware that they were going to put the new animal shelter at the airport. I was not aware it was going to be off of the runway and in the visual flight pattern. So I have kind of some concerns, and I so appreciate you letting me come out here. I will try and keep this as brief as I can. But again, I am a pilot. I'm a private fixed-wing pilot. I'm also what they call lighter than air, which is the hot air balloon pilot. I've been a pilot for going on about 20 years now. I haven't flown, though, for many years as well, so I will say that. I've been in Newport 30 years, so I have flown in and out of the airport. I did most of my training up in Corvallis, however, because I belong to the OSU Flying Club there, because I would rent their planes. But I would frequently get my plane in Corvallis and fly over here to Newport, pick somebody up, and go fly to Florence or somewhere like that. So I have experience with the airport here. I wanted to bring out just briefly some safety concerns that I have. And one is placing that shelter at the end. I realize it's not at the very end of that shelter, but or at the runway, but it is within the visual flight pattern in that base to final leg. It's got trees that border it to the south. When I went out the other day to visit my brother out there at his new hangar, the trees were obscured by fog. The morning I was out there, it was about 9 o'clock in the morning. So my concern is you have these folks coming out here, that it's not the easiest place to land. I will tell you that Corvallis has at the end of the runway a lot of agricultural land and some few little dotted cows out there that you have to watch out for if you have an emergency. But I remember when I was training in there in Corvallis, one particular incident where I did have, I went to land, the wind picked it up, plane tipped, and I kind of rode along there on one wheel for a little bit. My left wing at the time was probably 5 or 6 inches, actually sort of about to drag the ground before the plane tipped over. Fortunately, the only thing that was there was a patch of grass. So it worked out okay, other than being scary. When I went and returned the plane, returned the keys, they had made a comment that looked pretty rough. I said, that was rough. But I will tell you, my life didn't flash before my eyes. Everything went in slow motion, including my screaming at the time. So I believe accidents can happen. I was a licensed pilot at that time, not very experienced, but I had them licensed. I was solo at that time. There was nobody with me. But I know firsthand accidents happen. I know I have, when I was doing takeoff and landings and touch and goes and things, there were times that I was very close to being on the runway in Corvallis or just kind of coming in short. Or just as a new pilot, you make mistakes. That's the purpose of going out there with somebody in training, including stall training. There were times I went out with the guy. If my instructor hadn't been with me, I probably wouldn't be here to tell the tale. Stalls happen. And my concern is you have this building at the end of this runway, relatively speaking. Again, I know there's a taxiway there, but still, somebody coming in has to clear those trees, drop down, and then make it to the runway. The other way, they have to gain speed. They have to get up high enough to get over those trees. Somebody with their landing gear down can clip those trees and just nosedive right into that building. And I don't want to sound histrionic or dramatic here, but those things happen. So not even 2 weeks ago, Saturday before last, there was an accident where two people were killed in Salem. They had taken off, they were up 5 minutes, and they came back and crashed at the end of the runway in Salem. These individuals are in their 60s, so I'm going to assume they weren't new pilots. So those things happen. So my concern is putting this building right there where you have the animals, you have people, you have the public. But my also concern, I didn't realize when I read the initial article a couple years ago that this was going to be at the runway, at the animal shelter that we placed at the airport. You also have that Coast Guard station there. And those helicopters carrying thousands of gallons of fuel fly right over that. I saw it with my own eyes. They wrote right over that building. So my concern is there's a safety there as well, because they fly in inclement weather. I mean, that's their purpose. They're emergency. I mean, they're monitoring our coast. I hear them every morning from where I work out here in my office, Highway 101. I'm on the east side of the highway and I hear them. We need them. But the fact is they fly right over that building. They fly in all kinds of awful weather. And that would be when we would need them most, is when the weather's bad. And they fly right over that building. But my concern here is not so much, I have a concern for the safety. My concern and my purpose here today is to look more at my concern for the animals that are out there and the employees and the public. So what we're doing here is we're taking the vulnerable animals. And these are animals that, to no fault of their own, have ended up here at the shelter. They're neglected, whatever, they're abused, they're beaten, they're abandoned, they're just rounded up, whatever their purpose is, they're vulnerable animals. And we as a society have opted to take care of our vulnerable animals. So when I was much younger, like I was trying to figure out back this year, I did a little bit of work in a shelter. I actually worked for a newspaper, and every week we would go out and we would take pictures of the pet of the week that we put in the newspaper. So I was a photographer for this newspaper. So every week I would go out, again, it's 39 years ago, I was thinking I was pregnant then, and that's right. So it's 39 years ago. I would walk through these kennels and see these dogs and just this deafening noise that you would have in there, and pick the dog. And I would at some point pick the dog that I thought nobody else would want, because the pet of the week would get all the advertising. Somebody would adopt it. So I did that for years. So I'm very familiar with how shelters work. I got to know the folks there, how hard they work, how hard that job is. It's a hard, stressful job. Now, thankfully, shelters, zoos, those things have come a long way, right? These days, we treat our animals a little bit better than we used to. I had a second shelter experience in, I did some traveling. I went to actually a place called Gulu, Uganda, and I spent a month volunteering at their shelter there. And I actually ended up bringing back a dog with me from Uganda. So I had my own shelter dog. But I had experiences there as well as to what shelter life is there all the time. So my concern here is the noise on those animals. Shelter life is hard enough. And then you have those helicopters that fly very close to where that building's going to be. I did a little research. I come from a business science background. I just like the facts. So I went out and did a little research as the last day or so, looking at the documentation, the peer-reviewed publications out there. And there's numerous studies. In fact, I couldn't find a study that didn't document the damage to dogs' hearing, the damage to their cardiovascular systems, the damage to their increased stress, the damage to their behaviors, including increasing their aggression. And so I have lots of articles. I'm happy to share those with anybody who wants to read them, but they say over and over and over again, shelter life in itself, in the perfect condition, in just the right condition, is detrimental to dogs. Cats too, but I focusing mostly on dogs. And then if you add putting them in a stressful environment with helicopters, with the jet fuels, with those kinds of things going on as well, you just add to their stress. So let me take a drink here real quick. So dogs, as you probably all know, hear better than people. They do. You can blow. They have those dog whistles. You can blow. We can't hear. They can. They can hear four times, according to this research, more quiet than we hear. So when we are standing near these jets, we are standing near these helicopters taking off, we are standing near all this noise, it's loud to us. And in fact, people that work in that industry have to wear ear protection. And dogs hear much better than that. So for them, it's even that much harder. Those high pitch, those sounds of those rotors, those kinds of things affect them even more than they affect us. So we've got here is also the vibration that happens on the ground. Animals also feel all that vibration that's in the ground a lot more than we wouldn't even notice it. They notice it. They've done a ton of studies that show animals, when tsunamis are coming or whatever, they won't leave their house. They can detect when earthquakes are coming, all that kind of stuff. All that stuff is documented. They also smell. So as you know, if you had a dog, you know a dog can smell anything. Dog will bury its bone and it can find it a month later. The research shows dogs can smell 40 feet in the ground. So when we put them in an area that has all this jet fuel and all these things going around, it impacts them. So what you have here, it's not just the jets flying over, because I realize Delta's not landing here, but we do have some jets that fly over. We do have the smaller aircraft, but it's, my concern is that Coast Guard chopper that sits there and idles for like a half an hour and fills that whole area with the jet fuel. And we need them again. I'm not saying we don't need the Coast Guard. We need them. But I don't know that we need to put the animals right next to them. The jet fuel has particles and things in it. They're going to settle right down on that ground, and it's going to affect how those dogs, they're going to smell them. Even things we wouldn't smell, they will smell. So I went out and I also looked, besides finding articles that show over a certain decimal that dogs start to experience hearing loss, they start to have cardiovascular issues, start to have behavioral issues. They also start to develop phobias when they have these kind of sounds they can't figure out, sounds they can't see. They become conditioned. They become more anxious, fearful dogs. And the research shows fearful dogs are not adoptable dogs. Not relatively speaking, people are not going to want the dog that sits back in the kennel and is afraid of every little noise. They're not going to want the dog that barks excessively and those kinds of things. So we don't do our pets any favor, or these dogs we're trying to adopt, when we put them in these stressful situations that they don't really need to be in, or that maybe there's a better place for them to be. I understand, because I come again, science and business, I know we're not going to build a Taj Mahal. I know we're not going to put them out on oceanfront property. I know it's going to be a rough shelter life. But what I'm wondering is if there's a better way than to put them next to a Coast Guard launching station in the visual flight pattern. I've asked repeatedly, I've tried to work with the city, with the county, to find out why this decision was made. And I don't get a lot of response. One of the responses that I get is, well, the FAA said it was okay. Well, I don't see the FAA said it was okay. I think the master plan says we can, the airport can put what it wants there. But does that mean that's what we should put there? And that's different than saying that the FAA has said it's okay to do. Does it make sense to do, I think, is a different kind of question. But when I look at this project, I also looked at the Lincoln County website. Their mission says that they are here to provide a safe haven for these animals, a place for these animals to recuperate, to be reunited, to heal from their injuries, that they are about promoting animal welfare. And then I look at how this project is set up, of putting them in a safety condition with the jet fuels, with the loud noises, with these things that are going on, and I can't wrap my head around that this is the safe haven for them. I know that phase two of this is set to be some kind of spay and neuter clinic, which I'm all for. If I could pick one business to put here in Newport, it would be a spay and neuter clinic, or it'd certainly be more veterinarian care, because I think that we lack that here. But again, there's lots of research that says animals don't heal when they're chronically stressed, when they're in noisy environments, when they're fearful and being always on guard, which makes sense, because I don't know that humans would heal that well either in those situations. I went out and also did some, there's a lot of research out there about how to build a shelter, because through the Humane Society in these places, because there are a lot of people, not just counties and cities, that build shelters, like non-profit, other folks do these ventures as well. So there's a lot out there about how to construct a building for the purpose of housing shelter animals. What is consistently noted in these packets they send out of how to build your shelter is noise. So you've got to keep the noise down if you want to have your dogs appear healthy, be something that's going to be adoptable. So they talk about things like hazardous materials. They say, don't put your clinic by hazardous materials. Any hazardous material should be at least a mile away. So I think of that big jet fuel tank that's there. That's not a mile away. I think that's maybe two blocks away, if that. I think about the emergency supplies. The sheriff wants to build a storage unit and house emergency stuff. I don't know what's going to be in that. But what the documentation from the Humane Society and these other companies is, don't put your shelter by hazardous materials. They also say don't put them by when there's atmospheric pollution. Now, they describe atmospheric pollution as gas, solid radiation produced by burning natural artificial fuels, chemicals, and other industrial processes, such as nuclear processes. They're putting this shelter right in the middle of jet fuels, and I don't know what else is going to be out there. It's going to be emitted. But again, if you look at where you put a humane shelter, it says to stay away from these particular things. And again, I think of those poor dogs that have that smelling, and then they are going to sit there and smell jet fumes all day. And again, my concern mostly is around that, the Coast Guard, and they're just running, they're idling their helicopters. There's also things, you know, the trees might fall. There's some other safety concerns out there too. The committee talked about taking down some of those trees and doing things. We don't know what that's going to do to that surrounding area. But I have really a concern that this puts pilots at risk. It puts shelter workers at risk. I know I wouldn't want to work out there. Between the noise, between the fact that planes are coming and going over my head, between the smells, it puts volunteers at risk, it puts the public at risk, and of course the animals, because they have no way to escape should there be some kind of catastrophe come out there. The other concern I have there is for the environment. It's a beautiful piece of property out there. Unfortunately, it's got wetlands on one side of it, and it slopes down to these wetlands. And I don't know what the water table looks like underneath those wetlands. And I don't know if there's been any study done. So again, I've asked both the city and the county for some of these reports. They can provide nothing that shows the EPA has been involved or that there's not going to be some issue with the wetlands there. I don't see anything that the DEQ has done anything. I know shelters now, there are issues about, well, the DEQ would be the issue of what those jet fuels might do to that environment. But there's also the OSHA, which dictates a certain noise amount, the employees have to wear earplugs and those kinds of things. And I don't know if OSHA knows about some of kind of these other jet things or if that is an issue. Again, I keep asking but not getting information about that. So just a little bit more here. It concerns me when people say that the FAA said that this is okay, because it's part of, to me, the misinformation that's out there. And maybe they did, and I'm missing something. Again, I've asked for reports. But just because we could do something or we're being told we're not going to tell you can't, I don't know if that means that we should do that. I think if I'm a hot air balloon pilot, I could drag my balloon out to the beach at Night Beach and launch it. The FAA doesn't say I can't do that. All they say is I can't be in controlled airspace or 500 feet from a building. I could drag it anywhere I want it and launch it. But does that mean I want to do that or that I should do that? And I think the answer is no. Sometimes we have to look at what makes sense to do it. So I think of the finances as well. I'm an old accountant. I was an accountant for many years. And I see the animal shelter has a budget of $25,000 negative in a deficit right now for June of 2022. The airport has a negative $141,000 as of June 2022 in their approved budget. And what I'm seeing here is they're asking $5.3 million to do this project to house 24 dogs and 15 cats. And large animals aren't allowed. So it's very clear in the meeting that they are not going to allow the large animals out there, because they know what will happen if you fly a helicopter over a horse. It will bolt. And it was noted that horse could bolt down the highway or cause problems. And what they're thinking with the animals, the small animals are just caged. They can't run. And that is right. They can't run. They can't hide. They will just sit there and be terrorized by the sounds. You can have an increase in lease expense. They could not say how much the lease was. They kept saying it was being negotiated. But you're going to have between debt service and increased lease, I think probably a couple $100,000. And I don't see, looking at their budget, where does this come from? I've asked, where does this come from? Nobody can tell me. I've asked for a performance. Nobody can tell me. Increased capacity means increased food and cleaning, all that kind of stuff. Increased vet care. Where does that?
Gina.
Yes.
I need to cut you off. Just we gotta. Yeah, I appreciate all your concerns. I do, but we need to probably get to the point and then give okay. these gentlemen opportunity to ask questions or.
Okay.
Or anything like that.
Yeah, no problem. So my point is that this is a lot. They say they can't find options, but there are some other options out there. My concern is for the safety of the people that are going to be out there working, the safety of the pilots and the care for these animals. And so then I just, when I'm out and about, I've asked people, what is this about? And what I hear is it's about the sheriff wanting storage units. It's about the airport wanting the lease income. It's about the overlay plan for the county, and that's being that they want the animal shelter out. So I don't know. So I've asked the question. I haven't been got an answer. So then I'm asking you, is this about the animals? Is this about something else? And so then I will stop then at that point so that we can continue. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your concerns, and it sounds like you've done a lot of research in that regard to indicate in the future they were planning on have that 20 runway landing zone past actually the X or where it crosses with 34. So planes won't actually be flying over that. They'll be flying over it, but they won't be landing anywhere near that location. But I think in regard to the Coast Guard, I would anticipate they would be willing to change their flight plans as they take off, and not, they wouldn't be flying directly over that building. They would probably avoid buildings. That's kind of their nature. So they would maybe take off more towards the runway and not make that loop so tight unless it was an emergency. But I think the item here is kind of past our ability right now to change too much. We can maybe recommend something, but all those points that you bring up for design-wise, noise and things like that, certainly would be an item that I would hope the county could address and alleviate some of those concerns. But I think the safety issue probably isn't as much of a concern in my point of view, as the building is lower than actually the runway, even when it's built. So I don't think it'd be difficult for something to happen. And it isn't on the end of 3-4 where the main people land. So I hope that helps. Again, thank you very much for bringing your points up, and maybe there's something they could do, but I probably, we're not the body as much as somebody else, other body might be, to take, handle some of the concerns you have. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Gina, I appreciate your efforts on bringing this to the committee. And it's very possible, I'm going to do something very unpolitical here, it's very possible that we did not think this through as fully as we could have. Mm-hmm. Because you're right that when you go out there and look at it, you don't even see the airport operations until you happen to stand there when the Coast Guard helicopter flies over. Mm-hmm. And it might be 60 feet. So that could be an issue. I was wondering if you have had a meeting with the new shelter manager, and hopefully she has some input on animal behavior and has some input on this as well. So have you brought your concerns to the new, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I did meet her briefly. Actually, it was the day she literally started, she was moving into her office. And that's where we had kind of a few minutes, we stood out there and talked. So I was gonna give her a little bit more time to settle in. So we didn't talk too much about this issue. It was more of kind of a meet and greet kind of thing. But I will tell you what I noticed standing out there for probably 20 minutes on the ground is it's not very noisy in that current state. One of the things I hear is, well, it's really noisy where they're at now. It was not noisy at all where they are now. I mean, when the fair comes to town, yeah, there's some noise there. But I have met her, and she is on my list to kind of keep in contact with as well. But I will tell you, there was a letter that went to the different commissioners today from a Dr. Skeeter, who is a veterinarian who is the director of a shelter, with her concerns about it.
And I will be upfront and honest. I have no problem, and I'll speak for myself, not for the committee. I have no problem in admitting that we did not do our due diligence in asking a professional animal behaviorist their opinion on the location of the shelter. And that's something that we did not do. And for that, I'm sorry. If it's really an issue, because it's about the animals, it's not about the county. Yeah, the revenue to the city and to the airport is nice. We look forward to future developments, but it's very possible that we missed that. And I'll go on record in saying that that's something that we didn't not consider. And I'm sorry for that. And I would not hesitate contacting maybe some of, you know, OSU mm-hmm. has a wonderful veterinarian college mm-hmm. there. Bringing an animal behaviorist in here. And if we can get them on record saying, absolutely not, this is horrific, this will destroy these animals. As Jeff mentioned, the safety issue, it could happen. God forbid that it does.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not too concerned about the aircraft traffic. Yeah, they could have a stall factor there. I don't really want to live in fear, but it's if we focus on the animals and how this could dramatically affect the animals, then we might have a case. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I have no problem going back to whoever sees these reports, or the city council or the county council. The commissioners need to know this, because the last thing I want to do is have everybody say, well, the airport committee says it's okay, let's do it, when it could be really a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Chairman, that's all I have to say about this issue.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Yeah. Yeah, it's not like we're blind to the issue. I'm hoping that all items will be addressed there. And having Dietmar also have an architectural background, there are ways of alleviating noise directly, although there's some, they can do it if they respond to it. So hopefully
not when you not when you have 10 dogs outside during their potty break. Doesn't happen.
So let me call you back when it's over. It'll be about 10 minutes.
Okay. And that's another thing.
Yeah.
Where's the waste for the animals going to go?
Can I speak to that? Because I sat on through, watched the video of the planning committee. They are going to set up some system of pumping that waste up and putting it underneath the runways. And what they have to do is they have to separate out the hair, because hair doesn't do good in the septic system. So they're going to set up a system where they separate out the hair from the other stuff. I'm not sure how it's going to work. And then they're going to pump up the rest of the stuff in the drain line and the runways. And the other issue with that is they're going to do something with storm runoff. So what they're thinking of is building some kind of ponds out there that will handle storm runoff. And the problem with the ponds, we know, is that it brings birds, because it brings amphibians and frogs, those things. And it brings more birds. Again, more birds right off the end of that, at the end of that flight pattern.
Okay. I think any other discussion probably would be directed more to different committees than this one. Go ahead, Dietmar.
I got to go, guys. I got to pick up my granddaughter. So take care.
All right. Any other further comments or items for next agenda?
Dan has something to say.
Well, I did, but if we're running late and I don't have time, then I can wait till next time. What do you guys, you want to hear it or you want to not?
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, Jeff, I just wanted to correct a couple of things, or at least give you a quick opinion. I don't know if they're going to ever shorten that runway or not. I certainly hope they don't. It's already probably short enough. I just wanted to go along with what Gina's saying here. I actually do think that we do have some safety issues. Anytime you put a building on an extended center line of a runway, you do run the risks sorry, I got a damn telemarketer calling me. You do run the risks of all sorts of different accidents happening there. You have students that stall airplanes. You know, they might bounce the airplane, wind up stalling it there. I think just to totally disregard that and say there is no possibility. I don't think it's the airport board's job necessarily 100% to decide whether or not the helicopter's too loud for the dogs or this or that. Although I do think what I'm wondering is when the airport board, I wasn't a part of this, when they made the decision to say this is a good location, did they take the helicopter into concern, or in did they think about that? Did you guys think about, the potential of stall spin accidents? You know, there's a lot of those. We have over 1,000 crashes yearly in small airplanes. Did we take the noise into account, or did we merely and the risk to people, or did we merely just look at, hey, we're going to get some money here, let's get the money? Because I struggle with the fact this is going to be good for the airport or good for the shelter or good for the employees or anyone really, other than the fact that we're going to get some money for it. So what was the thought process that went into this? Or was it just $4,000 a month? Again, I wasn't part of the airport board that was involved in this decision.
Is that a question?
That is a question. Was there any other thought process that went into this? Did you look at it and say, hey, this is going to be noisy? We don't want to ask the Coast Guard to reroute their route of flight. These guys fly in very dangerous, dark, middle of the night situations, and they fly that route because it's the lowest terrain, lowest trees to get in and out of there. And to ask them to not do that or not practice or to move the helicopter down before you take off, it adds time and it adds danger to them and also the anybody that might be in distress. But that would be my question.
Cynthia?
Well, Dan, I can.
Yeah, my understanding was that the noise for the animals was not going to be an issue because it would be far enough away. Now, I don't know, but that's what I heard. And also finding a piece of buildable land is very difficult. So if you can think of any optional locations, let the county know.
I think that's
part of it, finding buildable piece of land for the shelter. Where it was, county fairgrounds, it is not an option. That's going to become a transit center.
I understand. No, that's fine. I don't know if you've actually been out here or not. Maybe you have. I think a lot of people are under the impression that the helicopter uses the runway. The helicopter is just a couple hundred feet from this new facility, and it's a little bit higher up. I don't know if I have all your information. I actually have a video of that flying over that. They fly over that area at very, very low altitudes. And it is very noisy in that area. And they do run that machine for extended period of times for maintenance, you know, cool down, warm ups, different stuff like that. What surprises me when I found out it was going to be at the airport is I don't think it should be at the airport, period, but there was better opportunity on other properties, you know, well, back before Mark leased them all. And now, so where it wasn't on the extended center line of the runway, and it wasn't 200 feet from the Coast Guard helicopter, and it wasn't downwind from the helicopter. So I don't know why that was the option. I also will tell you, I spoke to several of the planning commissioners on here, and they all told me that they actually personally felt like nobody really did any real looking at all. So I don't know. I mean, if we were to, I think there are other options. This is going to ratify on the 14th. I think that we could possibly find other options, but I don't know that we can do it before the 14th. Thank you.
Ralph?
I just wanted to say that I know we did discuss the helicopter. That was, in fact, I think I'm the one that brought it up initially, that was a concern, but I don't recall anybody up to this point really raising the issue from the animals' perspective.
Well, I don't know if this is self-incrimination or not, but to directly answer Dan McCrae's question, me personally, I did not go out there and I did not envision an animal shelter where this proposed location was. And again, I'll speak for myself, I kind of blew it. I have no problem admitting that we may have made a mistake, and we were so excited about any development at the airport that we actually overlooked the potential of, number one, a flight hazard, and number two, how is this going to look from the animal's perspective? And this is why I have no problem. I don't know what the protocol is for this when you have a committee to approve something and then come back and say, you know what, we may have blew it. We need to research this further before we rescind our recommendation. But I would be all in favor of Gina inviting an animal behaviorist specialist from the Oregon State University Veterans Research Center to come over and look at this situation, to review Dan's videos. We'll have the Coast Guard take off over there, and for us to go to them and say, hey, guess what, you guys, you got to review your flight plans, especially in the case of an emergency, to go get some fishermen out of the ocean is ridiculous. They're not going to do that, and I wouldn't ask them to do that. So I wouldn't mind at all going on the record saying, we need to really look at this, Mr. Chairman. God forbid, in case something does happen, then we're on record of approving this thing when maybe we shouldn't have.
Susan?
In fairness, Mark, I think we didn't totally drop the ball. I had the pleasure of going out to the airport with Jim on Saturday, and also Dan showed us the video he took of a helicopter, and it really is startling how close the helicopter is when it takes off and lands to that location. But at the same time, I'm astonished that the animal shelter people didn't research the effect of having airplanes, particularly helicopters, on these traumatized animals. I mean, it's not really up to us, although
I'd love to have more information from an animal behaviorist, but I would think that the animal shelter people would be the first ones to be concerned about that. And I'm absolutely happy to reevaluate the decision, because I was astonished at what Dan told us on Saturday, and I think we do need to do more research. So I'd recommend that City Council withdraw the proposal to approve it all until we have further study.
Very quickly, I know people that volunteer out there. I know when I talked to the shelter manager and asked about this, and the response is, I think they don't know the risk. They haven't been out to the airport. They don't know this is right off the runway. They don't understand things like settling ponds and birds and those kinds of risk factors that are out there. They have not heard the helicopters take off. What they're being told is this building will be soundproof. What they're being told is this is away from the main runway. They're not being told about jet fuels and Coast Guard and those kinds of things. So unless they actually went out there and looked at the site, I think they're unaware of that.
Well,
so why they went played in their decision making.
Right. I think maybe the best procedure might be that that if the county or their animal control people, I would encourage them to go out there and look at it. If they feel there's an issue, they ought to be the ones to be bringing this up. I don't know that we can, in hindsight, rescind anything right at this point. We are a recommending body. So we're probably backwards here. I think you need to go to the people who are actually doing this and bring all of your points up, and it's on their onus, not necessarily our fault, that they're the ones that are going to be building the building and running it. So I don't think we need to take a lot more time with this. I think the items have been spoken to, and perhaps the best item would be to go with the people who are actually doing the duty or the job here.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to bring up, Cynthia?
Oh, well, I'm going to belabor the point a bit. You know, it seems like some really good points have been brought up, which may not have been considered enough. So like with the on-site visit, I didn't know the helicopter was a couple hundred yards away, and it's very loud. So I do really don't see what the problem would be for this committee, if you so wished, to write a letter for reconsideration or further examination of the location of the animals and recommend on-site visit for county officials and city officials. And
Cynthia, I appreciate that recommendation. The only way that this is going to be effective is if we have the Coast Guard involved and the Coast Guard actually flies their normal pattern leaving to the south. And we have county commissioners that have immediate access to the Coast Guard. And Ralph, if you don't want to make a motion, or I will make a motion, because I'm going to be honest, Mr. Chairman, I think there's things about this situation that we have missed. And for us to just wash our hands of it and give it to another committee, that's not me. And I don't want to do that. So I will make a recommendation and vote me down. That's okay, but I want to make a recommendation that we suspend our approval of this initially, bring more evidence, scientific evidence, professional animal behavior evidence, and then take another look at this before we approve it. Yeah, we're not, but we did approve it, Jeff.
I'm just taking the procedural steps how you do that. I don't know that... It'd be difficult for us to disapprove something we recommended. It's potential, I suppose. I think the recommendation, if that were the case, would be to recommend to the City Council, who is the overriding body over us, actually the county in this case is the one that's doing the whole enchilada. We're the tail, or not the dog here. So, again, I think it's great that you brought it to us. We can't really disapprove anything to the degree that you would like. We can make our concerns made, like Mark would like to say. I mean, you can bring that up if And each individual person on this committee could write a letter if they felt so inclined. But I'm not sure what, I don't think Mark's, you could try your motion, Mark, but I don't know how it's going to go.
Well, I think that, you know, I listened to, you know, Susan speak, and I think I agree. I don't think that we can rescind what has happened. Actually, maybe you can. I don't know. But I think that we could make a motion. I'm trying to think of how it would. Maybe you can help me with this, Mark. What motion would you how would you word it?
I want to hear from Ralph first.
Well, I would make a motion that prior to signing a final lease agreement for that property, the members of representing the county and the county commission, as well as the city, join with the Coast Guard for an on-site visit with an operational demonstration by the helicopter. And I'm pretty sure the Coast Guard would agree to that.
Susan?
Seconded. I agree.
I agree. I would.
Okay, well, before you all agree, it was the motion and a second. Now you can agree.
Yeah, sorry.
All those in favor say aye. Okay.
Aye.
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 All right.
Aye.
Okay, looks like we all have an agreement there. Thank you, Ralph. That was probably a well thought out motion.
Thank you, Ralph. So, Lance, is it my understanding that the county does not have an executed lease with the city on this property yet?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, in the that should help if it brings all to light the concerns that we have and other people. Then that's great. You don't want to have a building built out there. And I originally thought that we would put in the lease that there would be no way that the county animal shelter, if it were built, could be able to give us grief later in retrospect. So same with any building out there. You don't want to have noise complaints shut down an airport. So, okay, anything else? You guys have items? Okay, looks good.
I'm good.
I guess this meeting is adjourned then. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
And so close to I killed it yet. I said, don't bring all that shit up. Make it short and sweet. You didn't ask the one question.
Hey, Dan?
Yeah.
Jim Shaw, you're still on computer, so better shut up.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
You're on recording.